Hey everyone, I hope you're doing well today. Thank you so much for joining us once again on Solutions with Anna Donahue and my very special guest. This is Ann Cadis. Ann comes to us, she's an ordained minister and a Christian counselor from Mandeville, Louisiana. And Ann, I'm so thrilled to, I'm getting to know you more and so thrilled to have you.
Thank you.
The way I got to know Ann briefly is I do a retreat every year, and that thing has become a thing in Fairhope, Louisiana at the Marriott Grand Hotel. And it started out, our pastors took us 30 years ago, and I thought, what a beautiful location, you know, it was wonderful. And so about 4 years ago, I started to take a group of women there for our ministry, and that thing has just exploded, and I'm so grateful. If you need to go, I'm gonna, at the end, hopefully I'll remember to put the details on the screen, but you can come in March and join us. But we have a mutual friend. And Ann was at one of the retreats, I think 2 years ago, and our mutual friend came to me and said, you've got to meet Ann Cadis. You guys really, like, you say the same stuff, and I just think you would get along great. And she was right, because I finish her sentences, she finishes mine, we just get right on the same page. We're going to tackle some situations today that I pray will bless you. And so with that, I'm going to kind of get right into it. Then she's going to be one of my guests at this upcoming retreat. And we're calling this retreat Tapestry. And the reason is think of a tapestry. In fact, I have a definition. Let me read that definition. I've got papers everywhere. And you'll see why in a minute. Here's the definition of tapestry. A tapestry is made by weaving together different colored threads. The images and designs are created by the interplay between different colors and textures. That's a lot of words. Just means there's a lot of different colors coming together to make this tapestry. What is clear on the front of a tapestry is opaque on the back. So what we see on the front is not as clear on the back. The back shows something of the image, but it looks more like a child's attempt than a master's. I thought that was interesting. The back of a tapestry, all those loose ends and knots and what looks like a mess, is on the backside compared to what we get to view on the front. This is tapestry. The back, it lacks nuance and clarity and detail, all the messy parts. The front is smooth. The back has knots and loose ends. Hang with me now. And I was thinking about life. And there are so many different words that describe this tapestry of life. Here's where I'm going to go with it eventually. If you're thinking, where's she going with this? If you've got loose ends, you've got areas that are just seemingly, you can't break through. Mm-hmm. This is what we're going to be talking about. Tapestry. Now, hang on. You know, I've often known, if you're born again, if you have Christ, you start at A. You're saved. You got God. Z in the alphabet is the finishing. God won, so we win, and we got it all. We got everything we're going to need in Christ, A to Z.
Right.
But what happens is L, M, N, O, and P are in the middle, and that's where sometimes in life, yeah, I got born again. Yeah, I'm saved. Yeah, I get it. I'm going to make it to the finish line because of him. What happens in those 60-something years in the middle or 70? I don't know. That's when we bring an Ann Cadis on board, because she talks about inner healing and going to the root causes of problems and how to bring you out to get you on your road to Z. Hang on, I'm about to turn it over to Ann. I started thinking about this, folks, and these are words that I've just taught on, that I started seeing this theme of Christian process, metamorphosis. I thought of that. The potter and the clay, L, M, N, O, and P. You know you got A down because you got saved. You know Z is there because he won, but sometimes metamorphosis is in the middle. The potter and the clay, tapestry. The message I'm doing at the retreat is from a great guy named John Follett. He's a poet, and he talks about being emptied from vessel to vessel. What's happening, L, M, N, O, P, to get me to Z? Esther, she had to have a preparation before she fulfilled her destiny. The children of Israel going through the wilderness before they got into that promised land. Well, only two made it. Joseph, again, this is all Bible. Joseph's thrown into the pit, then before he got to the palace. Potiphar's wife, he had A, Z was God, God won, but Joseph went through L, M, N, O, N, P, life, the process. Watchman Nee, one of my favorites from old, talks about the normal Christian life. Is this a bummer? Oh no, are you only going to talk about the trials and tribulations of life? No, but David sat in a cave learning who he was before he got to the throne. I could keep going on. Ruth is on the threshing floor getting prepared before she rose to her destiny. There is something to be said about A to Z. I got one more illustration and I'm turning it over. I taught this teaching and I love it. If you ever want me to do Flourish at your church or in your meeting, I'm coming. Because I use this illustration all the time. This is a seed packet. We see the finished product, beautiful tomatoes. But before they became beautiful tomatoes, they started out as a seed, A to Z. Christ is in us. Got it. We got it. Z is the finished product. In fact, our faces will be on there eventually. In fact, we are getting conformed to Jesus, so we will look like him on here. But what about the middle? Okay, we live our lives. I wrote down here, we live our lives really from this end product. I don't want to trip you up, but that's really what we do because we then got to go back to the seed to get to there. And Cadus, what do you say about that? The process, does that line up with what you've seen in your years of counseling? What happens to people, to life, myself included, where I knew A, I knew Z, but man, sometimes getting through L, M, N, O, and P has been a little bit of a rough patch. Can you kind of go into that with us a little bit? What have you seen?
Well, I think, you know, the transformation process, he wants us to look like him.
Yes.
And so we have to be transformed into his likeness.
Yes.
And the process is dealing with our inner man, our emotions, the soul.
Yes.
The mind, will, and emotions.
Yes. Break that down a minute, Anne. What is the soul? We have a spirit. Can you give us that a little bit as you know biblically, but also as you've seen with Christians?
Right.
What happens?
Well, we're a three-part being. We're spirit. Our spirit man is saved.
Got it.
At salvation. Soul is your mind, your will, and emotions. And then we have our body. And a lot of what we think does affect our body. And so we go into the soulish realm, and we want to deal with the pain, the trauma, the things that we've been through emotionally, which we all have. No one's exempt. And so that's part of the process of inner healing.
Very good.
And dealing with the flesh and just the pain and the trauma and the belief system that we've developed.
Okay. This is everything she's saying is huge. I'm going to have her back that up a little bit. And we're going to give you some maybe definitions or kind of break that down a little more. Because even though you might be familiar with it, see, I just love even rehearing it and rehearing that I'm spirit, that part saved. But talk about the soul a little bit and give us that again. And what we need to do with this soul realm.
Well, coming into the kingdom, our soul is wounded. Mm. It comes into the kingdom with all the woundedness. And so we have to go back to the places in our childhood and see what it is that has affected us and why we believe the things that we do, why we have the triggers that we have, why we do the things that we do. And it's a valuable process, and I believe, you know, the Lord holds it at high value because in Isaiah 61,
oh yes, go.
It was, you know, he said, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. I believe that's poor in spirit. Mm-hmm. We're poor in spirit, and we need him. And Jesus was sent to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness the prisoners. Mm. So that word brokenhearted is shabar. It's to break. We're broken in areas. There are places that we've been shattered. And the places that we're shattered is in our minds.
Wow.
And we've got to go back and see those places, deal with those places that we've been shattered in our minds.
So this is process. Mm-hmm. This is LMNONP. Is that correct, Anne?
Correct.
We got the A. We got Jesus. We got Z. We know we're going to make heaven. We know he's put it all in us, correct? Mm-hmm. We've got all of God. We got all the goods. But if we don't deal with, I like when you said that, some of those triggers, some of those when I was 8 years old, then when I was 60, if we just, what happens, Anne, if I just stuff it under a rug and say, praise God, I got it. What happens if I never face something that's happened to me?
Well, I believe if we never deal with it, things just get worse. It doesn't get better. It gets worse. And what we have a tendency to do is when most of us don't know what to do with our pain.
Very good.
Because haven't been taught and we don't know. And so when that thing rises up in us, we tend to push it back down and say, oh, I can't deal with that right now. Or, you know, that's there, but I'm just going to set it aside because we don't know the process of our way out. Mm. We don't know the way out.
Wow. Give us a little bit of that. Think of a situation, if you are okay with that, of someone who has tried to stuff something under the rug. Mm-hmm. They don't know the way out. Tell us how to get out, Anne, of those pits.
Well, I think Jesus is gentle and kind. Mm. And his greatest desire is for him to access every part of us. Mm. And there's places in our heart that he can't access because of pain. So there are certain doors that are closed off to him. And so when he brings it up, if we're willing to look at it and say, okay, Lord, what do you want to do with this? And where's the pain from? Mm-hmm. And allow him to maybe, what I do is take people back to these places and encounter Jesus in these places.
Encounter Jesus where that pain was.
Mm-hmm. So the encounter with Jesus switches everything because you're going to see him in vision in that place of trauma. And the Lord begins to speak to you there. What are the lies that you believe? We actually ask him, what are the lies that I believed at this moment? Because the minute you have a trauma, the enemy comes in and starts pouring lies and telling you who you're not. So he starts tearing apart your identity.
Mm. I'm big on all the identity.
Right. And shame comes in and, you know, you're never good enough. It just, there's so many lies, just so many. It's just layered. And another thing we see with people is, once we've started, he started a lie here way back in our childhood. Yeah. He continues to tell you the same lie. So because he never wants you to come out of the agreement of that lie. So you asked me the process.
Yes. I'm just, I see it. Thank God I'm walking in such freedom today, but over the years as a minister, I so bear witness. I see this with people when I'm sitting with them. Correct. Stuff it under, and you never deal with it. I love, though, that you said Jesus is kind and merciful, and he's saying, bring it, correct?
Right.
Bring it, and then you deal with it. Yes, what's some of the process that you will take someone through, Anne? If, okay, 8 years old, they have suffered, I don't know, a trauma. I don't know what it would be, but they're now 38 years old and they're coming to you and they're saying, man, this thing when I was eight, blah, 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 blah. What do you do?
Well, the first thing I do is ask people, if you can remember it from your childhood, it's something that God wants you to go back to if it's a trauma and a hurt, because we wouldn't remember it if it didn't affect us. Mm. So what I do is I ask people, what are your top three traumas? Mm. And we start there. And so we go back with Jesus into that place and I take them in vision, like I said, and we forgive the whoever's because forgiveness is key through all of this. Forgiveness is key. And we invite Jesus in and we see him. And like I said, we ask him, what's the lie I believed? Mm. Because the lie is what we're living out of. And that's the thing that's the thing that triggers us. That's the fruit that we're living out of. Mm. So Then we ask him, okay, so we renounce the lies, mm-hmm. and then we say, okay, Jesus, so what is the truth?
There you go. I was just going to say, mm-hmm. it takes someone of knowledge of the word, right?
Right.
You shall know that. We talked about this on the mm-hmm. phone. You shall know that truth, and the knowledge, the genisco, the intimacy of that knowledge sets you free. If you never... I'm not saying you always have to sit with someone, but if you never deal with it or perhaps talk to someone, she's a counselor, and face that thing, you never get free. Like she said, you'll carry it and keep carrying it. Very good. You live out of it. That's a scary thought to me. You live out of that lie. Mm-hmm. Okay, did I break up your thought process?
No, and so when the Lord speaks it to you, see, in those places of trauma, you're all alone. Mm-hmm. You're a child, most mm-hmm. of them, mm-hmm. and you're all alone, and Jesus shows up and he's there with you. So mm-hmm. now you're no longer alone, but now you can begin to believe the truth for yourself because you've heard from him. Mm-hmm. Like I can tell you all day long, Anna, no, that's not true, but that's not
correct.
True.
Correct, correct.
But then when Jesus steps mm-hmm. in, everything shifts. Mm-hmm. And then you can begin to dismantle mm-hmm. the lies, which is 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. Dismantle, you know. We
cast it down. Yes, 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 yes.
And then they're able to, then they have authority mm. over those vain imaginations mm. and they're able to capture those and throw them down.
And say that has no place.
Yeah. Right, because they've heard from Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so then that's when things really begin to shift. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of times they encounter Jesus in the way they never have. He loves on them. Mm. You know, they feel safe with him.
And how would you address this? Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the Word. Would you say someone has to go deep dive in to recognize when you see a scripture to set you free, it's Jesus saying, I'm setting you free with this scriptural truth.
Right.
You know, I'm just thinking about someone who memorizes the Word.
Right. Well, you know, sometimes he just speaks as a loving father. He knows at that moment where I love it because he's so personable to that person. So he meets you in your language, in what you already know.
Very good.
It's very powerful. Yeah. You know, sometimes it's the word, and sometimes it's just something they needed to hear that an intimate father would say.
Inner impression, mm-hmm. deep, deep down. I love that. And do you find then, once someone's free, they mm-hmm. got it, they're walking in it, do they have to... Keep abreast of it? What do you find that then?
Well, I think it's a lifetime process.
Mm-hmm. it's the LMNO.
Yes. Well, we're constantly... I mean, I just walked out of stuff last week. You know, as stuff comes up, mm-hmm. I sit before him because mm-hmm. now I know the process. I know what to look for and mm-hmm. I know what questions to ask. And I think the Lord waits for us to ask him. Mm. So he can show us, because what we have done is spent a lifetime of stuffing it. And he's like, do you want me to bring it out into the light? I'm not going to shame you with it, but it's to walk you out of it.
Huge. Okay, pause. Not cameras, me. There's no shame. Mm-hmm. He brings it. He reveals. I always used to do this. He reveals, and this is a scraper,
yeah,
to heal.
Yeah.
Scraping the old. He reveals, scrape it off then to heal. No shame. That's so good, Anne.
Yes. Well, most of us, a lot of us live out of a shame-based lifestyle. Mm-hmm. We just do. We don't even realize we're doing it. Mm-hmm. And so he wants to strip us from that and give us a new identity through the process. And through the process, the Lord showed me, he gave me vision one time, and he says, I want to relabel hearts.
Relabel parts.
Hearts.
Oh, hearts.
Hearts.
Give me an example. Relabel a heart.
Well, the vision that I had, I was in a warehouse and there were all these hearts on shelves and he was ripping old labels off and he was replacing them with new labels.
Wow.
And it was through the process of inner healing mm-hmm. that he relabels you and tells you who you are instead of who you're not.
This is blessing me because it lines right up with our other shows of identity. And Anne and I had another talk off air about what you believe, right, Anne, mm-hmm. is crucial because you will live out of what you believe.
You will.
And I also love what she's saying. If you don't know who you are in Christ, that comes through sitting with the Father, right? Mm-hmm. If you don't know who you are or whose you are, someone's out there waiting to tell you.
Right.
And you might not like it. You know, someone's always ready to do this.
Well, another thing that we do, Anna, is a process. And what he does through the process is we call it reparenting. Because I have people engage with the Father in vision and they sit before the Father. And we ask him certain questions, like, what do you think about me? Are there any lies that I believe about you? And there's times that he reparents them in the things that he speaks to them. Because we need to be reparented in where we've lacked. We need a Father to tell us who we are.
So good. So good.
We need Holy Spirit to tell us who
we are. Indeed. And I want to clarify, when she says envision, I don't want you guys out there, if you're not used to that terminology, to think, what is that? She's sitting with the Father. And she's sitting there in the most intimate moments and saying, gosh, show me, God, show me. How else is he supposed to show you? It's in your inner man. It rises up.
Well, I tell people he wants to, we call it anointed imagination. He's given you the gift of imagination. And he, if you'll take the time and envision him in however you want him to look, how he looks to you.
Sure.
He will anoint that imagination and work from there.
That's interesting. And that's so good, because I've done that before. There are times where I'll think, man, I need God, da-da-da-da, and God's like, I am. I am. I am whatever you need me to be at that moment. I am.
Yes.
Or Jesus, the brother that walks, you know, or the Holy Spirit inside giving me truth and comforting me, you know. Very rich. We've just tapped the surface. I'll start bringing it to a close so we can pray for our audience, and then we'll stay with me. We'll go into show two. You're doing a great job.
Yes, I'm good.
Like Ann said, she goes, Ann, I'm not used to it. She's a counselor. She's the heart. She sits with people one-on-one, and she says, I'm not used to camera, and I think you're doing a great job.
Well, thank you.
So look, let's pray for you. I know we just tipped the iceberg, but Ann, grab my hand. Maybe you're out there, and you know, you got some of these issues. You know what? Name them. One to gazillion. But like Ann is saying, we have a Father who loves us.
Yes. Amen.
He's after our healing. If something has shamed you, just go to God. Go to God with us right now. I believe in the supernatural work of God through a camera, Ann.
Yes.
He doesn't care. He's big enough to handle it. And you write to us. You can write to Ann. In fact, we'll put it on the screen. We've gotten permission. Her email address, if you'd like to email Ann with questions. But the main goal for this show, Ann, God loves them. Mm-hmm. God loves you. He does have a plan for you always. But there is a healing for you.
100%. And I think he wants you to have more of him. Mm-hmm. And if we deal with us, we get more of him.
It's a t-shirt. I'm looking at my camera, people. It's a t-shirt. If we deal with us, we get more of him. It's okay to deal with yourself.
Yes.
It's okay to walk in knowledge and healing and living your life, right? And my goodness. Yes. Father, for the viewing audience, thank you, God. Father, I know. Thank you. Just thank you, Lord. They're going to write in. They're going to listen to the podcast. We're going to be able to help many, Father. Thank you for that. Lord, I just pray for my brother, my sister, Father. Lift them up out of the pit. More than anything, Lord, let them cry out to you. Let them cry out and say, God, I need to know you. That's what this show will do. I need to know you. I need help. God's right there. Father, thank you. Thank you for Ann. Thank you. We're going to go into show number two. And Lord, just bless the watcher, bless the listener. Yes. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Anna.
Thank you. So look, that retreat, quickly, it's in March 7th through the 9th at the Marriott Grand Hotel in Fairhope, Louisiana. Go to the website, you'll get all the details. And if you can come, we'd love to have you. That's going to be rich. I've already been there in my spirit, and it's going to be a rich time. We'd love to have you. So look, if you haven't subscribed to a show, just click the subscribe button. You'll never miss a show. And hey, maybe you'd like to give. We could surely use your help. We're expanding, and we would love it if you could give to Solutions. So if we've been a blessing to you. So in the meantime, we will sign off for now, and we're coming back for show number 2. That'll be next week when it airs, and we want you to join us. So thank you so much right now for joining us for Solutions with Anna Donahue and my very special guest, Ann Caytus. Amen.